You're listening to show number 33, November 13th, 2018. Join me, animal naturopath Dr. Kim Bloomer, nothing veterinarian about me, as a host of The Doggone Truth, where I don't whitewash. I just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's natural, it's raw, it's the bone of fide truth. Join me today as we delve into another topic on dogs, their nature, and their needs. And just so you know, I don't separate my faith in God from what I do. He is the reason. So you'll hear about Him in every single show and how much He loves us and all of His creation. I also talk about essential oils and their role as tuning forks and the laws of health that God gave us and His animals to live and be well naturally. Can you dig it? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Hello, I'm Dr. Kim. I'm your host, and this week we're going to have a little bit more fun show because did a little bit of heavy stuff last week, and I kind of like to ease it up sometimes, especially as we're heading into the holidays. You know, next week is the holidays, and I'm going to share with you a show that we shared years over the years, and I just want to reshare it because it's got everything in there you need to know about how to take care of your dog during the holidays so that they don't get sick. I remember when I worked in veterinary medicine all those years ago, the times that we would see the worst things like pancreatitis and other things was right during the holidays because of people feeding their dogs wrong. So we'll get into that next time. But this week I want to talk about something fun, something I'm really interested in. The longer I've been working with animals, the longer I've been doing this, the more I'm interested in helping animals in the sense that helping us to understand their nature better. There's a couple of things I would like to share about that this week, and so I've entitled this The Digging Garden. There's also scent gardens for dogs. There's a lot of things that we can do to help our dogs have a more natural life, even in a domestic setting. So I want to talk about that. In fact, it was something I even brought up in my book, Animals Taught Me That, that was published back in 2009, and I think it's important for us to really think about these things. And to me, it's fun because you get to just really see how your dog loves being a dog. We try to make them into mini humans with us dressing them up and putting costumes on them for different holidays and doing all kinds of stuff that tries to make them into our babies. Now, you guys have heard me say on this show a few times, they're not fur babies, even though we think of them as our family. They are carnivore predators, and I really like to honor that nature, and I think we'll have a lot better interaction with our animals when we start to honor their nature and their needs. I say that a lot, I know, but it's because it's the truth, yo. And the truth is what makes us free. Now, we all know that it's in a dog's nature to dig, right? If we don't, I mean, like, hello, it's like that kind of a thing. What I've always done, well, after we got our dog Shadrach, our Neapolitan Mastiff, who is the reason why I've said that I do this show, why I did the former shows, why I do what I do as an animal naturopath. It's why I'm even in this business. Yes, I worked in as a vet tech before. Yes, I worked with animals in a variety of positions since I was 15. That's a long time ago, yo. But still, the reason I went into this natural whole health was because of Shadrach. Started with my golden retriever Fridge, but I digress. Anyway, when Shadrach came along, he was my primary teacher in the sense that I was finally ready to listen. All of my dogs and animals before, I was learning, but I didn't listen to their needs so much as what I wanted for me. And I think that's why I'm so passionate now about sharing what their needs are, what their nature is, because it took me so long. And while my dogs loved me and I loved them, I look back now and think, gosh, I could have done so much better. But, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. We did then what we knew to do, and then when we learn better, we do better. And that's Maya Angelou who said that. I agree with her. So when Shadrach came along, because he was who he was, I wanted to have a place for him to dig. And that's what I want to kind of get into this, right? Can you dig it? All right. At my former home, I had a portion of my yard that I called Digging Garden because of Shadrach. And in order to help my dogs learn that they can dig there, but not dig up the grass. Of course, where I live now, I ain't got no grass, but we do have a formerly landscaped upper yard. And then with a gate in between into a lower yard. And the reason I say upper and lower is the upper yard is actually higher. And then the lower yard, they go down into what we call a valley. and it's all natural flora and fauna. So this is how I have helped my dogs learn not only to not dig where I don't want them to, but to allow them to dig because it's in their nature to do so. So what I do is I help them learn to not dig up the grass by stopping them in the act. That means you've got to be aware of them and watch them when they're outside. I know most of us work and do, we all do, even though I work from home, I still work. When they're young or when I first get them, that's when I have to keep an eye on them, especially when I let them outdoors, because they're going to go and do what they're going to do. My dog King, our American Bully, we got him when he was 13 months old. So he was the only dog at the time for 4 months until we got Shotzi, who was 7. And she digged too. She was allowed to do whatever she wanted before. And I needed to be able to show them, I don't want you digging in this landscaped part, but you guys can dig over here. So what I would do is catch them. King primarily would get into my flower pots. So I would have to catch him, tell him no in a firm voice. Obviously, it's not like I want to scare him. I would then take him down to the lower yard and start with his paws, dig, 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 and make it happy. And I'm serious, that's what I do. You guys may find another way of doing that, but that's what I do, and that's what I've done, because it worked with Shadrach. I thought it's going to work with all of them, and so far it has. And I did that with Meshach, my Great Dane, did that with Shotzi, and Shotzi, it's really funny. I mean, she's not into it now. She's an older lady now at 12 and a half, and King is almost 7, but they still, if they want to dig, they know where they can go to dig. So here's the thing I want for us to think about. Our dogs are so much smarter than we give them credit for. And they always figure out quickly that it's okay to dig in an area if they're allowed to dig in an area. You know, my dogs sometimes dig to China. Meshach was pretty good at that. What they'll do is they'll go down there and dig anywhere. I have pictures with the blog post that's with this particular show showing both Shotzi digging, and she's going to town digging. And then Meshach digging. He's digging, digging, digging. And you can see that this is natural flora and fauna. You know, we're out in the desert. And you think, well, that's okay. No big deal. I'm going to share a little story with you about that. Meshach, one time, he dug a trench so deep that he could lay down in it. And I think of it as the equivalent of what the guys in the military dig. You know, those trenches they dig for war situations. And he would lie in it. He could get his big Great Dane body, because even though he was still a puppy, Great Danes get big really fast and really young. He would lie in it, and all you could see was the top of his head. And then he would watch all the prey animals out here, because we have rabbits and quail, we have mice, we have ground squirrels, variety of prey animals that he could watch. But because we also have predators, coyotes and other animals, we have roadrunners, we have hawks, could watch them. And that's just what he would do. He would just lay out there and watch them, not bark at them. He wasn't much of a barker. Stuff was going on in his brain, as you all know, that he passed away, if you've listened to the show with him, gone too soon, farewell to Meshach, that he had grand mal seizures, and they just escalated as time went on. Well, he didn't bark, and he used to bark when he was young, but when those started, he wasn't barking very much at all. He just was quiet and would observe and be and who he was. Anyway, it was really cool to sit there and watch him, and he would just watch all those prey animals pretty intently, and I thought it was really awesome that he did this. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, he got to be a dog, Shadrach got to be a dog, my dogs now, King and Shotzi, get to be dogs. I like letting them be their carnivore predator selves as much as possible. First of all, it's going to let off steam in them. It's going to let them release energy that they might not be able to otherwise. It's going to release frustration, and that reduces stress in them. And we know that stress is a big contributor to ill health in humans, and it is in animals as well. They need a stress release, and they need to be who they are. They're going to be your fur baby, I guess, whenever you want them in that situation with you. They like to lay in our laps and be on us. You know, dogs are pretty contact beings, but we want to give them back what they are. I want to encourage them to be who they are. Not that I'm not in control, but actually that I get to, like when I do the howling game with them, which you may have listened to that show. And I will link these shows that I've mentioned with this one. But the howling barking game that I do with Shotzi and King. Now, Shotzi won't howl, but she'll bark, which is interesting because she's kind of much more of a feral breed, being a Carolina dog. King, he'll howl and howl, and I can even just get him started. He wouldn't do it in front of my husband for the longest time, but now, instead of running to my husband, going, jumping all over him when he gets home from somewhere, because that's his, like, total, his buddy. That's, like, his buddy. I'll keep him calm, and then we'll howl. My husband thinks it's pretty hysterical to see his wife and dog happy and howling all together, but not jumping on him. So it's really cool way that I've helped him to be able to release his excitement in a dog way that works for us. And he is always so happy and calm afterwards. So I get to be a little bit dog, and it's a connection for us. Everything I do with them is to be some kind of a connection with them. I've linked an article with the blog post that is about how to stop your dog from digging. But here, what I'm sharing with you here is how to find a way that they can also dig. So you want to stop them from doing destruction to your nice yards and things that you don't want them digging up, yes. But also, my counter to that is to say, find a way that they can dig. So I'm going to share with you what I did with Shadrach. This is a snippet from my book, Animals Taught Me That, chapter 26. And the title of that chapter is the very last chapter in the book, is Shadrach the Neo-Mastiff, nothing but the dog in him. That's what I used to do with Bark and Blog too, which was his blog. And that's still my domain. I still have that domain and it still points to my blog. But Shadrach did all the blogging on that. So here is it from page 192. And I quote, "We had our yard challenges as well. He thought hose nozzles and hoses were great fun to destroy. But we corrected that behavior right away by switching to metal nozzles and teaching him that the hose was off limits, except for summertime bathing, which he loved as a puppy." Let me add here, he loved it as an adult too. "I eventually found the best fix later, but I'm getting ahead of myself, as usual. Shadrach also thought digging up our nice lawn in the backyard was great fun. As soon as I caught him at it, I'd stop him with a firm no, and then take him over to a portion of the yard reserved for his digging. It was all dirt. I'd take a hold of a paw and then begin digging with it, and I'd say, 'Dig, dig, dig,' with a high-pitched tone of voice so he'd know that the intention was fun. He quickly got the message that it was okay to dig as much as he liked there, but not in the grass. When he had a wild hair up his behind, such as dogs behave when excited, you know, the zoomy thing, he'd run over to his digging spot, also known as the digging garden, and dig nearly to China. It was the funniest thing to watch, and Shadrach enjoys it to this day. Actually, he has a much larger digging garden now at our new desert home." End of quote. End of that section. Now, while Shadrach is no longer with us, he passed away April 5th, 2011, and I've shared the podcast with you on that here, too, on The Doggone Truth. What he taught me on allowing dogs a way to relieve their need to dig naturally has lived on with my husband and I, and with each subsequent dog, as I just shared with you, each one that has graced our home. Now, since then, I've shared this information on podcasts, and in my writings, and in the hopes that some of you will provide your dogs a way to indulge their need to dig without destroying your yards. It coincides in much the same way with people having catios built for their cats to be able to be outside climbing and being in the fresh air, but without the danger of them roaming. My feeling is, if we're going to have these animals in our care in domesticity, then we need to find ways to allow them their nature as outlets. And in my opinion, and in my observation, in my experience, this makes for a lot healthier and happier dogs, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And that then becomes a healthy dog overall. It's our privilege, I believe, to have them, so it ought to also be our obligation in joy to provide them these simple pleasures as much as we are capable. And that contributes to their overall health and well-being. And I'm going to keep saying that. Plus, you're getting them outside in the fresh air and sunshine. And when they're digging, there's soil microbiome there. If you're not putting a bunch of junky pesticides in your yards, yuck. And allowing them to receive the benefits from that ground, in the grounding, earthing, fresh air, and sunshine, we're honoring laws of health there. At the same time, they're also receiving the benefits from the soil itself. You got a whole lot of benefits going on there while releasing energy for them. That's all for this time. I hope you guys like it, and I hope you can dig it. And remember this, it's the truth that makes us free. Thank you for listening, and be well, yo. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. Visit my website at aspenbloompetcare.com to read the blog and the articles, to become part of my essential oils team, and just to learn more. The Doggone Truth Podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom, All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Ken Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath and an independent distributor of Young Living Essential Oils, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. Information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, but rather to motivate you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets, based upon your own research and in partnership with your health care providers. I encourage you to dig in and make your own informed decisions through your own personal responsibility, research, application, and due diligence. Thank you.